Mathematicians like to overthink things. It's sort of what we do. We take some concept that everyone understands on a basic level, like symmetry or equality, and pick it apart, trying to find a deeper meaning to it. Take shape. We all know more or less what a shape is. You look at an object and you can easily tell if it's a circle or a rectangle or whatever else. But a mathematician would ask, what is a shape? What makes something the shape it is? When you identify an object by shape, you're ignoring its size, its color, what it's used for, how old it is, how heavy it is, who brought it here, and who's responsible for taking it home when we leave. What are you not ignoring? What is it that you're getting across when you say something is shaped like a circle? These questions are, of course, pointless. For all practical uses, your intuitive understanding of shape is fine. No significant decision in your life will ever hinge on how exactly we define the word shape. It's just an interesting thing to think about if you have some extra time and you want to spend it thinking about shapes. Let's say you do. Here's a question you might think to ask yourself. How many shapes are there? It's a simple enough question, but it isn't easy to answer. A more precise and limited version of this question, called the generalized Poincaré conjecture, has been around for well over a century, and we still don't know of anyone who's been able to solve it. Lots of people have tried, and one professional mathematician recently won a $1 million prize for finishing up a big chunk of the problem. But there are still many categories of shapes left uncounted, so we still don't know, as a global community, how many shapes there are. Let's try to answer the question. How many shapes are there? For lack of a better idea, it seems like a useful thing to do to just start drawing shapes and see where that takes us. Circle, square, triangle, star, line, blob, squiggle, a different squiggle, smiley face, cube, sphere. It looks like the answer to our question is going to depend on how exactly we divide things into different shape categories. Is a big circle the same shape as a small circle? Are we counting squiggle as one big category? Or should we split them up based on the different ways they squiggle? We need a general rule to settle debates like this, so the question of how many shapes won't come down to case-by-case judgment calls. There are several rules we could pick here that would all do a fine job of deciding when two shapes are the same or different. If you're a carpenter or an engineer, you'll want a very strict and precise rule, one that calls two shapes the same only if all their lengths and angles and curves match up perfectly. That rule leads to a kind of math called geometry, where shapes are rigid and exact, and you do things like draw perpendicular lines and calculate areas. We want something a little looser. We're trying to find every possible shape, and we don't have time to sort through thousands of different variations of squiggles. We want a rule that's generous about when to consider two things the same shape, that breaks up the world of shapes into a manageable number of broad categories. New rule. Two shapes are the same if you can turn one into the other by stretching and squeezing, without any ripping or gluing. This rule is the central idea of topology, which is like a looser, trippier version of geometry. In topology, shapes are made out of a thin, endlessly stretchy material that you can twist and pull and manipulate like gum or dough. In topology, the size of a shape doesn't matter. Also, a square is the same as a rectangle, and a circle is the same as an oval. Now it gets weird. If you think about it, using this stretching and squeezing rule, a circle and a square are considered the same shape. Check out the PDF for illustrations that demonstrate this.